So he was able to do both architecture and design, mm-hmm. but then he was also became an interior designer.
Right. He wasn't really terribly interested in interior design. He liked the architecture point of it. But I guess when he went to work for Parrish Hadley was when he realized that this was what makes a house special. It's how you put all these elements together. You need Albert Hadley, who and Sister Parrish were the owners of Parrish Hadley. And Albert was very much architecturally inclined, still did beautiful interiors, but you had to get the architecture right first. And then you can make it all pretty, so to speak.
And then, this is interesting, Edward Wormley was part of a circle of people that included Philip Johnson mm-hmm. and Edgar Kaufman Jr.,
right.
who with his father commissioned Frank Lloyd Wright to build Falling Water in Mill Run, Pennsylvania in the 1930s.
Right.
So, what did, of course, we feel Frank Lloyd Wright architecture here in Tulsa.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What did David think of Mr. Wright's work? And then in particular, Falling Water.
Well, I think he was fascinated by Falling Water because it's such a iconic piece of architecture. And it really works as far as how he made the airflow and things work in that building. And it looks beautiful from the outside. It's probably maybe a little strange and cold on the inside, but it certainly is an incredibly beautiful building or house. And I mean, I think he liked that. I don't think he liked all of Wright's work, but he thought, you know, he's pretty much a genius of certain things that he does, that's for sure.
But not to be influenced by him
at all. No,
right.
No.
There was a book that influenced David, Mario Parraz's Illustrated History of Interior Decoration.
Yeah. It's sort of the Bible of decorators, a beginning Bible of decorators, because it goes through the history of decoration, so to speak.
And then it made him think of how the pattern of a carpet, furniture, pictures, fabrics, wall covering, and the hang of curtains, along with the fall of light, they admit, all translates into making a room dance.
Yes, exactly.
And you know exactly what I'm talking about.
It all has to work. The light has to work in the room. It just everything. It's such a combination of many things to make a room special and come to life and make it sing, so to speak. It really does.
Right.
Yeah. It's funny, that was, when I first met David, that was one of the first things he ever gave me was a copy of that book. Yeah, because for him, it was a Bible, so therefore I needed it.
And so when we walk in, and we should be talking about your place here too, because David had influence on this, but when we walk in, most of us can't, we like it, but we don't know why we like it, I guess. But
yeah.
I guess it's all those things put together.
Yeah,
that make it, even with the sun coming through the window here,
yeah.
and in your house here, we are in which room?
This is a study.
Okay, yeah. Right. And so everything was purposely done in exactly the proper space.
Yeah, David always was of, you know, you found pieces of furniture that would work in the room, so to speak, and then you had to have something made so that it worked in the room, you would do that as well. And, you know, and then you just, I don't know, there's so many things that go into making a room work and make it special. Where are you going to sit? You know, where do you want to sit? You know, you have to have a table next to it so you can put a drink on it. You know, got to have the light there.
Well, you kind of touched on Parrish Hadley, but then he met Albert Hadley at a lunch, I understand. Is that true?
Right. I forget whose house it was, one weekend. And Albert he died a few years ago, was very charismatic and just an incredible talent. And he was always looking for young talent that could come to work at Parrish Hadley. And, you know, he was impressed with David and just liked his manner, I'm sure, because David's very, David was very personable and very, he's funny and, you know, he knows how to be a social creature.
And that personality of his put him into circles. I mean, yes, we know he was terribly talented.
Yeah. You can be very talented, but if you don't have the ability to sit at a table and talk to people and at dinner or lunch or whatever, you're probably never going to get in the door. You have to be sociable and you have to know how to sort of play the game, so to speak.
what you just said, young people will listen to them. That is a key point for them to listen to.
You have to. You can't. You can't be so arrogant. You may have all the talent in the world, but you can't be so arrogant to think that someone's just going to hire you because you're so talented. You know, there's other things that go into it, really, which is just life. You should learn that.
And he had it all in one person, didn't
he? Did,
he?
All that person. All in spades.
Right. So then with Parrish Hadley, he was thrown into what we call traditional design.
Yeah.
What was David's favorite design, did it morph into?
Loved the Regency period, loved the Georgian period. I would think when David first started, he really liked the Regency period because it was much more kind of, it's not so, it's maybe more disciplined, I guess, as you could say. But he didn't, all the decorating part, which, you know, fancy curtains and all that, is probably more Georgian, I would assume. I mean, the Regency certainly had fancy curtains, etc. But yeah, he also loved modern architecture.
Right. He didn't stay in one place, did he?
No, he wasn't just, you could never pinpoint David. Well, you could for a period probably in the 80s because he did so many big kind of Georgian houses. But he was capable to do anything and everything and hated to be, that's what you'd go to David Easton for. You just that look. You know, because he was much more adaptable, so to speak. Mm-hmm, he was much more interested in a lot of things rather than just one thing.
Right.